Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, the lines are open. It's open mic. That's right, open mic on Science Fantastic. Here's your chance to get on national radio to ask that question that's always been bothering you. To ask that question that you think will make a contribution. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Once again, that's 612-564-8135. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. At mkaku.org is my book tour schedule. I'll be traveling in the end of February to cities around the country, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, New York, Boston. And I'll be talking about my latest book, The Future of Humanity. In my other books, I've talked about the future maybe 10, 20, 100 years in the future. But what about 1,000 years? What about the ultimate destiny of humanity as we explore outer space? Well, find out by getting a copy of my book, The Future of Humanity. Okay, well, let's move right along to the first listener phone call.
My question is, because our universe is suitable for life as we know it, and we can observe it, but provided string theory is right, and there are a multitude of universes, would it be possible for us to exist and observe universes that don't operate within the same physical laws as our own?
Well, you ask a very interesting question because string theory does have some detractors, and let me explain. First of all, I work in string theory. I'm one of the founders of string field theory, which is one of the main branches of string theory. String theory makes the claim that it is the final theory, the ultimate theory that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life. So what do the critics say? The critics say that, well, string theory is incredible. It unifies gravity with the standard model, that is, unifies relativity with the quantum theory, that is one of the great mysteries in all of physics. But, it's too successful. Not only does it predict our universe, but it predicts a multiverse of universes. Each universe is a solution of string theory. Now, if you think about it, that's not so unusual, because take any theory, Maxwell's theory of light, a theory of electricity. How many solutions are there of these equations? Well, obviously, an infinite number. You can have light bulbs, lightning bolts, you can have sparks, you can have all sorts of solutions of the electricity equations. Therefore, it's not surprising that a theory has an infinite number of solutions. But you see, string theory is different. String theory claims to be the theory of everything, the theory of the universe itself. Therefore, each solution of string theory is a universe. So any theory of everything, any theory of the universe also would have an infinite number of solutions, which means parallel universes. Now, the questioner asked the question, what about parallel universes which are quite different from ours? Like, for example, the proton is not stable. If the proton is not stable, then we all disintegrate into a bunch of electrons and neutrinos, so the whole universe collapses into a gas of free-floating electrons and neutrinos. Not very interesting. And then the questioner asks the final question, can we survive? Can we live in one of these alternate universes? Well, for the most part, no. Because in many of these universes, the protons are not stable, so our bodies would begin to disintegrate. But of course, there are also solutions that look just like our universe. And this freaks people out. I mean, think about it for a moment. A universe that looks just like our universe, but there's a twist. Something is different in that universe. Maybe you went to a different college. Maybe you went to a different occupation. Maybe you married someone different. Everything's the same except for one twist. Is that also possible? And the answer is yes. And it's rather spooky, but realize that people who are dead in one universe could be alive in another universe. Now, of course, I'm not saying that ghosts exist. However, it is possible that you could have somebody who's alive in one universe and is dead in another universe. Now, what's the catch? The catch is you cannot move freely between these universes. String theory says that, yes, there could be an infinite number of universes out there, but it is extremely difficult to move between these other universes. And if you want to know how to do that, get a copy of my earlier book, Parallel Worlds, where I discuss that very same question. Okay, well, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
Dr. Cockney, scientists now refer to our gut bacteria biome as a tropical rainforest of bacteria. Seeing as how they've evolved symbiotically along with primates, is it possible our gut flora is the driving force of human evolution? Thank you.
Well, you ask a very interesting question, because for many a decade, what happens in your gut was rather uninteresting for most scientists. We realized that it was very messy down there, because, of course, food has to be digested. All sorts of bacteria live down there, because when you poop, of course, it all comes out. And so scientists did not really spend that much time, because it was very complicated, very messy. But now we are beginning to look at it, and we're beginning to realize that, like you said, it's like a rainforest, a jungle down there. It's survival of the fittest. So some people think that evolution does not take place on time scales that you can measure. Therefore, they doubt whether or not evolution is correct. But actually, evolution takes place in your gut. There is a jungle down there in your stomach and in your intestines. Evolution on a brutal scale takes place every single second. It's survival of the fittest, the law of the tooth and claw down there in your stomach. Now, the questioner then asks the next question. If it's a jungle down there with all sorts of evolution take place, does that drive the evolution of humans? And the answer is, well, not really. Certain things are driven, like, for example, being lactose intolerant. Some people have a hard time digesting milk because our ancestors did not domesticate cows. The domestication of cows took place relatively recently. We didn't really domesticate animals till about 10,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age. Before then, we didn't have cows. We didn't have milk. Then there was no need for lactose to digest milk. However, it was a mutation in our gut, which allowed us to have lactose, which can dissolve sugar, milk sugar. And so, yeah, evolution took place. That's a very obvious piece of evolution that took place within 10,000 years. But the gross evolution of humanity, that is, the ability to walk upright, the ability to have maneuverable thumbs, the ability to have a larger brain. These evolutions, okay, largely gave rise to humanity, but the evolution inside our gut helped it, but did not determine it. So the evolution of our gut made it possible for us to survive on different diets. But the basic structure of the body, that is the brain, the arms, the legs, that architecture took place in the jungle, evolution taking place in the jungle, not the rainforest of our gut. Okay, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
My question pertains to consciousness and string theory. And since we don't really have a total grasp on consciousness, it also ties in, like, DMT when you die. Our body releases a bunch of it. Is it just our consciousness leaving us at the time and going to a different parallel string theory universe where in that universe everything was the same except we had survived from an accident? Thank you.
Wow. Well, you ask a question that combines the most advanced physics with questions in theology. Well, let's take a short break. And after the break, we'll try to delve into the question of consciousness and the laws of physics. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. You can be part of Science Fantastic by calling us at 612-564-8135.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than Sunny-Bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to be part of the fun, then it's open mic on Science Fantastic, so you can give us a call at 612-564-8135. Well, before the break, we had a call that goes to the heart of theology, the heart of the most advanced physics, and that is the question of consciousness. What happens to our consciousness when we die? Well, the short answer is, I don't know. There are many religions, many philosophies that deal with this question, and some of these philosophies are not provable one way or the other. For example, take a look at reincarnation. Some people believe that when you die, perhaps you come back. Come back and come back as a different kind of animal, different kind of organism. Who knows? But you see, how do you disprove that? How do you prove or disprove reincarnation? Well, you may say to yourself, well, if somebody claims to be reincarnation of Cleopatra, then why don't you simply ask your Cleopatra some simple historical questions? Well, I did that once. I was at a party once where somebody claimed to be the reincarnation of Cleopatra, and I asked her some simple historical questions. She got them all wrong, but then she said something which stumped me. She said, "The history books are wrong." How do I know? Because I am the reincarnation of Cleopatra. At that point, I realized that nothing I could say could shake her belief. Nothing. Because this is outside of the boundaries of science. Science deals with things that are testable, reproducible, and falsifiable. Whether or not you're Cleopatra, that is, you have the consciousness of Cleopatra, is not testable. It's not falsifiable. It is not reproducible. So let's say someone dies and says he went to heaven and came back from heaven. We have many best-selling authors claiming to have near-death experiences, and they talk about what the afterlife looks like because they had a glimpse of it. Well, maybe they did, and maybe they didn't. In other words, there's no definitive proof. And that's the difference between faith and science. Science demands reproducibility. It demands testability, and it demands falsifiability. Faith is faith. Now, the next aspect of your question, which is pretty deep if you think about it, is what is consciousness? Well, this is something that we physicists have grappled with. Einstein grappled with that question of what is consciousness. And there are two ways of looking at that question. In my book, The Future of the Mind, I try to give you a definition of what consciousness is, looking at the brain the same way that a mathematician would. A mathematician trying to build a robot would also ask the same question. What is consciousness in a robot? Well, first of all, it's trying to create a model. All the information coming through your senses, you try to create a model of yourself in space, in time, and also in society. So, for example, an alligator, I think, has some consciousness. Even a plant has some consciousness. I would say that a thermostat has one unit of consciousness. That is, it has one feedback loop. So I give a definition. A definition of consciousness being the sum total of all feedback loops that give you a model of yourself in space, in society, and in time. So a plant would have one unit of consciousness, or actually maybe five, because it can measure humidity, the direction of gravity, the presence of nutrients, but that's about it. A thermostat would have one unit of consciousness. An alligator, I think, would have level one consciousness, spatial consciousness. It understands where it's located with respect to food. Then you have mice and wolves that are socially conscious. They have to have manners, social hierarchies. They know their place in the larger scheme of a society of like-minded mice and wolves. But then what about humans? What separates human consciousness from animal consciousness? Well, I say, and this is my own theory, I say what separates us from the animals is time. Animals do not understand time very well. Let's do an experiment. Go home tonight and teach your dog or cat the meaning of tomorrow. Such a simple thing. Teach your pet the meaning of tomorrow. And you'll find out very quickly that they don't understand tomorrow because they don't have memories to speak of. Memories are something that we humans have because we constantly daydream. We constantly run the videotape forwards and backwards and say, what if? What if we only did this? Animals don't do that. Animals live in a world of instinct. So that's one way of looking at consciousness. But then there's another way of looking at consciousness. Because you see, at the very heart of the quantum theory, the theory of atoms, we have a paradox. And that is, quantum theory says, you don't really know where something is until you look at it. The looking at something process determines its existence. Now, Einstein didn't like that. Einstein hated that idea because Einstein thought that objects existed independently of who's looking at it. What should it matter who's looking at a rock? A rock is a rock, independent of who's looking at it. But you see, in quantum mechanics, you have to make a measurement. The rock exists in all possible states. Now, Einstein thought, this is stupid. I mean, all possible states? So you're telling me that a cat, before you look at it, can be dead and alive simultaneously? Well, yeah, that's right. Einstein was wrong in this question. So where does consciousness come in? Well, it turns out that to make a measurement, you have to be conscious. Conscious beings make measurements. Unconscious beings do not make measurements. So all of a sudden, consciousness came in the back door. And quantum mechanics, the theory of atoms, depends on you having consciousness. But then the question is, who determines whether you exist or not? You're the measurer. Who determines whether you exist or not? Well, someone has to look at you. Well, who determines if he exists? Someone has to look at him. And there's an infinite chain, an infinite sequence of consciousness, each conscious being looking at the previous conscious being, leading up to God. Now, you may say to yourself, at this point, this is nuts. This is crazy. You're telling me that quantum mechanics, the ultimate theory of the atom, inevitably yields God? And the answer is, well, yeah, that's one version of quantum mechanics. This is the Eugene Wigner interpretation of quantum mechanics. Eugene Wigner believed in this. He was no fool. He helped to create the atomic bomb. He's one of the founders of the quantum theory, in fact, and he believed that ultimately cosmic consciousness is required to make a measurement. Now, you may say to yourself, well, what do other physicists today believe in? Well, I'll tell you what. My theory, in fact, the theory of most friends that I know, many of them Nobel Prize winners, in fact, believe in the multiverse. That is, in one universe, cats can be dead. In another universe, cats can be alive. And the universe splits in half. So we have a multiverse of universe with universes constantly splitting apart. You don't need consciousness in this formulation. You need a multiverse. Now, to get more information about this, because this is pretty sticky, go to my book, Parallel Worlds. And if you ever figured out the question of consciousness in quantum mechanics, you will win the Nobel Prize in Physics. You will have a branch of physics named after you. That's how deep this problem is. It is one of the deepest paradoxes in all of science, and it's open-ended as to the resolution of this question. Einstein hated all of this, but hey, what can I say? Einstein was wrong. Okay, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
Yes, I had a scientific question regarding quantum entanglement. The forces behind quantum entanglement, could this actually mean that it's faster than light itself, based on the mysterious properties? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, the answer is yes. Einstein said nothing can go faster than the speed of light, and actually that's not quite correct. There are some things which can go faster than the speed of light. If I have two electrons, and they're vibrating in unison, and then I separate them, according to the quantum theory, an umbilical cord emerges that connects the two, like a telegraph wire. And if you jiggle one, then the other one senses the fact that its partner has been jiggled. Well, so far so good. But then the question is, how fast? How fast did that knowledge go between point A to point B? And the answer is, it went infinitely fast. At this point, Einstein said, aha, gotcha. You just said that quantum mechanics, the theory of the atom, predicts that messages can be sent faster than the speed of light. That violates relativity. So who's right? After the break, we'll answer the question, who was right, Einstein or the quantum theory? I'll give you a hint. Einstein was wrong. Well, let's move right along and take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More than 15 million Americans who received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine are now closer to getting their booster shot.
We do have 19 out of 19 unanimous yes votes.
In contrast to the Pfizer and Moderna recommendations, the FDA panel is now suggesting that all adults who receive the Johnson & Johnson vaccine get the booster as early as 2 months after the original shot. Some police officers are resisting COVID vaccine mandates that could leave their department shorthanded. The mayor in Chicago says the city will be safe. She was asked if people should be worried.
No, they shouldn't be. Obviously, we have contingency plans in place if they are necessary, but I'm confident that they're not going to be necessary.
Officers in Seattle and San Francisco are also facing the same dilemma. This is USA Radio News. A federal grand jury indicted a U.S. Capitol Police officer for allegations of working from inside to protect a person who was charged with illegally entering the Capitol during the January 6 attack. Officer Michael Riley, a 25-year member of the force, is accused of telling the person to delete social media posts from that day. Riley was charged with 2 counts of obstruction in the case. "I'm a Capitol Police officer who agrees with your political stance," Riley said on Facebook, allegedly to the person, before removing his own message later. He said, "Take down the part about being in the building. They are correctly investigating, and everyone who is in the building is going to be charged. Just look out." Capitol Police said Riley had been placed on administrative leave pending the completion of the case. Riley, who was in the K-9 unit on January 6, was not on duty at the time of the attack, but did respond to reports of an explosive device on Capitol Hill that day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. "Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After 1 day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said." Juliet Hordick. "I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again on Science Fantastic, we take your phone calls. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. And all of science is fair game. If you want to ask a question about robots, about outer space, about astronomy, about DNA, about biotechnology, then this program is for you. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. All we ask is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and hey, bingo, perhaps you can get on national radio. Okay, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
Hey, good morning. Calling out of Indiana, my name is Michael.
My question to you is, in the future, as mankind slowly transitions from actually being human to being more bionic and eventually purely machine, what will be the motivating factor for a civilization of machines to explore in a civilization of robots look to the sky and wonder and question and be driven to explore? Thanks.
Well, you ask a question that we actually debated on Science Fantastic with a number of our guests. Quite a few of our guests are futurists who look thousands of years into the future. Let's say we meet a civilization 1,000 years ahead of us and they land on the planet Earth. What are they going to look like? Something out of science fiction novels? Not necessarily. They could be robotic. Because after a while, they may say that robot bodies are faster, smarter, and better than ordinary bodies. So why not merge with our robots or become robots ourselves? In which case, are they going to want to explore at all? Won't robots simply get bored exploring the universe, because that's for humans, and robots may have no interest in this. Well, I have my own point of view. My own point of view is that, well, yes, there's always a possibility that we will become so intelligent that we'll merge with robots, and robots may simply not want to explore the universe. They may do whatever robots do. Well, I take a slightly different position. I believe in something called the caveman principle, or cavewoman principle. You see, our brain and our personalities have not changed much in the last 200,000 years since we emerged from Africa. In other words, we still like the same things that our ancestors liked. We like to be healthy. We like to have the admiration of our peers. We want to be attractive to our peers. We want to have the respect of our peers. So as we become more intelligent, as we have the ability to change ourselves, to genetically modify ourselves, we're not going to modify ourselves to the point where we look goofy and we look like a freak. So all those science fiction novels where people of the future are like brains in a bunch of liquid, and that we're nothing but pure brains hovering in a liquid, I think that is not the future of humanity because of the caveman principle. Who wants to look like that? Who wants to look like that with all these electrodes coming out of your brain? Who wants to look like that? So I think as time goes by in the future, as we have the ability to genetically and mechanically alter ourselves, we're still not going to change much. We'll have the ability to put implants to make ourselves stronger, more intelligent, blah, 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 to become supermen. But then we'll take them off and act normal again because we don't want to look like a bunch of idiots. Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. You're not going to get a busy signal. You'll get right to us. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, 24/7, anytime, day or night. You can give us a call. You'll get a recording. Leave your name. Call in to the radio station you're listening to, if you're listening to radio, and the city you're calling from, and you can be on Science Fantastic. Okay, let's take the next listener phone call.
Hi, I just wanted to record a fan's question. My name is Nina Chow, and I recently learned that for any mass with either the De Broglie wavelength associated with it, and the relationship is lambda equals h over p. But I had just a quick question. So if you have a certain mass made up of, you know, many smaller atoms, right, how do you know if you should consider the entire mass of motion to be, you know, just one mass and then associate one De Broglie wavelength with that, or consider the motion of every individual atom and then consider just this group of waves kind of moving with smaller De Broglie wavelengths than that one large one, where you would consider the mass to be just one entity rather than the sum of many smaller atoms. Thank you.
Okay, well, you ask a question which is actually quite relevant to today's physics. First of all, Einstein introduced the idea that light can have particle and wave-like nature simultaneously. He won the Nobel Prize for that. That's called the photoelectric effect, which is the basis of television. The fact that photons, particles of light, can act like particles or waves. Well, then a young grad student by the name of De Broglie asked the reverse question, and that is, if photons are particles of light that act like waves, then what about electrons? Can matter also wave? Well, that was considered heretical. What? An electron waving? But, yeah, he wrote down his famous equation, which you mentioned, and the De Broglie wavelength gives you a description of electrons as a wave. Now, that upset a lot of people, but he was right. In fact, he won the Nobel Prize. And it turns out that, yes, electrons have a wavelength. And you can use that wavelength to treat them like beams of light. They can be diffracted. For example, in our physics class here at the university, we shoot electrons through a tiny peephole. Tiny peephole. What comes out the other end is a wave-like diffraction pattern, proving
that de Broglie was right. And then a guy named Erwin Schrödinger asked himself another question. If an electron is a wave, then what is the wave equation? Waves obey an equation. What is the wave equation for the electron? And so Erwin Schrödinger then wrote down the equation. It's called the Schrödinger equation, which is one of the most important equations in all of quantum physics. In fact, the sum total of quantum physics can be represented as a solution of the Schrödinger wave equation. Now, to understand that equation, you need 3 years of calculus. But for those people in the audience who've taken 3 years of calculus, you can see perhaps the most famous equation in all of quantum physics. Now, E equals mc squared, of course, is the most famous equation in all of physics. But the Schrödinger equation is the second most important equation in all of physics. Now, the question that was asked is, what happens if you combine them? If you combine them, there's two ways to combine waves. One is they can be coherent. They can vibrate in unison. That's called a laser beam. Why are lasers so miraculous, so counterintuitive? Lasers are special forms of light because all the waves are vibrating in lockstep. That's called coherence. So they obey essentially the properties of one gigantic photon, all vibrating in unison at lockstep. That is called coherence. However, decoherence is what you see around you right now. When you look at a light bulb today, light is decohered. All the waves are jumbled up together like a junkyard, vibrating at different frequencies. And that's why you don't see ordinary light acting like a laser beam. Now, the same thing can apply to matter. And that's the question that was asked. Can matter also have this same property? And the answer is yes. Matter can also vibrate in unison. It's very difficult to do that. And that would give you an atomic laser. Not a light laser, but an atom laser. That is an atomic laser. And so it is possible that you can have waves of light vibrating in unison. Now, why should we care? One day, computers of the future will use this effect. Quantum computers rely on this effect. Well, that's it for this segment of Science Fantastic. Once again, give us a call at 612-564-8135.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NovaLift lithium-ion powered forklifts. With a NovaLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a 5-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NovaLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NovaLiftNA.com/save.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, the lines are open. It's open mic. Open mic on Science Fantastic. Take the opportunity of going to your phone and calling 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station listening to, if you're listening to radio, and the city you're calling from, and perhaps you can share your thoughts on national radio. Okay, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
Hello, this call is for Dr. Michio Kaku regarding the questions on Twitter. My question to you is, if I am approached by a flat earther who genuinely wants to be shown that the world isn't flat, what is the best way for me to relay the observation without condescension and with simplicity? Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Well, yes, believe it or not, there are some people today who believe in the flat earth theory because it seems to agree with experience. Everywhere you look, things look flat. That is, two-dimensional. Therefore, if you want to prove that there is a third dimension, then you have to go up, up. And when you go up and you look down at the planet Earth, you can then begin to see the curvature of the Earth. Now, if you're in an airplane, you go maybe 35,000 feet or so. And so you're about maybe 7 miles up. 7 miles up, you can just begin to see the curvature of the Earth in an airplane. Better yet is to take a rocket ship where you can clearly see the curvature of the planet Earth. Other than that, these people will never believe what you say, because the only way you can show that there is a third dimension is to move into the third dimension. Another way is by balloons. You can put a camera on a balloon and have the camera send a signal back to your cell phone, and a balloon will go many miles up, and you can see the curvature of the Earth with a camera. And so, again, the only way to prove that the Earth is not two-dimensional is to go into the third dimension, that is, go up, either in an airplane, a rocket ship, or on a balloon via a drone camera. Okay, let's take the next listener phone call.
Hello, I was calling to record a science question. My question is, does a spinning object have more gravity than a non-spinning object? Thank you.
Well, at first you may say to yourself that they have the same amount of matter and energy, but actually there is a slight difference. You see, spinning motion is a form of energy, and Einstein says that energy and matter can go back and forth. For example, it's possible for a light beam to turn into a rock, or a rock to turn into a light beam. Now you may say to yourself, well, that's impossible. Well, if that rock is uranium, and that light is the flash of a nuclear weapon, then clearly the rock has turned into energy. So therefore, when you look at the weight of an object, you have to calculate its energy as well and add it to that. And so Einstein says you have to take a look at the matter-energy. Matter-energy, because matter and energy are really the same thing. They can simply go back and forth between each other. So yes, you have to take into account the spin of an object when you weigh it. By the way, it's very tiny. So for all intents and purposes, you can weigh yourself without having to spin on the scale. Okay, let's move right along to the next listener phone call.
Hello, my name is Jeff Hartman. A few days back, I was thinking about, after listening to a podcast where they're talking about whether humans should send focused beams of electromagnetic radiation to nearby planets or star systems, basically letting the universe know we're here besides the 40 year or 60 years of radiation we've been sending out already. But there was worry because people think aliens might be bad, they could come get us, whatever. And then I got to thinking, for a species to become intelligent, it was hard for me to think of a way that a species can evolve to be intelligent and be evil at the same time. It doesn't add up to me because I think about humans, I think about how to become intelligent. We had to work as a group, nurture, care for one another, and I think that might be something universal. So, if there is a worry about dangerous alien civilizations, I would question whether if that's unnecessary worry. Now, AI, on the other hand, I'm not sure about that, but I'm not sure. I want to hear your thoughts on an intelligent species evolving to become intelligent and being evil. Thank you.
Okay, well, first of all, I do not believe that we should advertise our existence in outer space with radio for precisely the reason that you mentioned, that perhaps the aliens could be dangerous. And then the question is, could they be evil? Well, that's actually not the point, because what happens if the aliens don't care? When we go into the forest and we see ants in an anthill, we don't talk to the ants. What do? We just pave them over. Now, does that mean that we're evil with respect to the ants? Does that mean that we have a grudge against the ants? That we viciously hate the ants? No, we just don't care. Same thing for War of the Worlds. When H.G. Wells talked about the Martians invading us, did the Martians hate us? No, we were in the way. The Martians wanted to take over the Earth because their planet was dying. Our planet was young, fresh. Therefore, we were an obstacle that got in the way. Same thing when we go in the forest. We don't necessarily hate the deer, but we pave over the forest anyway for a housing development. And so it's not a question of we're being evil with respect to the deer and the squirrel. No, we pave them over because they're in the way. Therefore, I think when we meet intelligent life in outer space, if they're that advanced, yes, there is a possibility that we could be in the way. Now, personally, I believe what you said, that intelligent beings will perhaps not be evil because they'll realize that sentient beings can feel pain and we deserve to survive. But you can't rule it out. You cannot rule out the idea that perhaps we are simply in the way of alien creatures. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. This is Science Fantastic.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.